Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We want to thank our friends from Centrix for supporting and sponsoring this great conversation as we chat about the cornea. That's right. This conversation is going to the eyeballs. And joining us is the wonderful and our talented veterinary ophthalmologist, Dr. DJ Heusler in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here, because this is something that I feel like it's always good to have a refresher. And, you know, you get a little confused on certain things and what should we use and when and indication. So looking forward to it. So a little bit of information about our wonderful friend DJ here. He grew up in the Cincinnati area and he finished his undergraduate work at Ohio State University and received his DVM in 2006. And then he went to New Jersey, where we just realized, like, I've been referring cases to you and I probably didn't even know it. How funny is that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Right? Yeah, so that was at Garden State Veterinary Specialist. And then, oh my gosh, he's been published in Veterinary Ophthalmology, Investigative Ophthalmology, and so many other publications. You've done so much work. His publications have been referenced in the gold standard textbook, Veterinary Ophthalmology. Dr. Heusler has been published as a published photographic atlas to help veterinarians and veterinary technicians identify ophthalmic diseases in dogs. And it's entitled Recognition of Canine Ocular Disease, a Photo Atlas, Volume 1. So many great works that you're doing here, my friend. So his interests are providing exceptional ophthalmic care to prolong vision and comfort for your pet. And he's very interested in cataract surgery with intraocular lens implantations, as well as various surgical methods of corneal repair. He enjoys mentoring young doctors and enjoys lecturing at the local, state, and international levels. And outside of his career, he's an avid sports fan, enjoys following the Cincinnati Reds, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. My, you are true and true right there.
Yeah, I sure am.
I love it. So, okay, so let's talk about the cornea. So what do you think are the top, I guess let's say the top two or three corneal diseases that you see in dogs and cats?
So by far and away, which is probably what everybody is their most common condition that they see, is corneal ulcers in both dogs and cats, would be the top one in each of those species. Then I would say that probably the secondary one would be dry eye in dogs, or KCS. And then in cats, we deal with a lot of herpetic keratitis and conjunctivitis from feline herpes virus.
Do you think it's in that particular order? Does it vary on popularity and commonality? Which ones are more most important? Or
I think at least for dogs, it probably is ulcers and then dry eye. And for cats, it's probably anything of managing herpes virus, and then a close second would be ulcers.
And what are you looking for in underlying etiologies?
Well, in dogs, I think the biggest thing is evaluating these patients to figure out why they are developing, let's say, corneal ulceration. So looking at signalment. So if you were to look at some things like signalment of, say, dogs that are 6 years old and older and they're developing corneal ulcers, this would lean more towards indolent ulcers. Mm. Whereas if you are developing more central corneal ulcers in brachycephalic breeds like Shih Tzus and Pugs and Boston Terriers, it's probably more of an exposure issue. These are those lag ophthalmic breeds that are not squinting their eyes completely or blinking their eyes completely, I should say. And then looking at any sort of underlying issues such as entropion, or dystichiasis, which are abnormal hairs coming out of the eyelid margin, or ectopic cilia in very young animals. Those dogs are typically 2 years old and younger. So I think that's the primary issue in looking at why these dogs are developing ulcers, is figuring out why they are developing them and not just saying, well, we're just going to throw some antibiotics at it and see them back again in a week or so.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And proper antibiotic usage, of course, too, with the eyes. Yeah. And speaking of, what do you think are some improvements that could be made by us general practitioners when treating these cases?
I think utilizing the proper medications to use, the proper antibiotics to use, and also the dosing frequency that is used. So, you know, you mentioned proper usage of antibiotics. I see a lot of cases that come in with ulcers where they're on triple antibiotic twice a day. And that's just simply, you're just creating more resistance. I mean, they need to be dosed at four times a day, if it is an infective cause. So I think that's one of the main sort of issues we see on referrals.
And let's talk about lubricating the eyes, if we could. I know that Centrix has some two products that are out there regarding this, the OcuNavis ProCare and the OcuLenis. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about those?
Sure. So these are cross-linked hyaluronic acid products. So hyaluronic acid is very important as it relates to the cornea. It's a hydrophilic compound, so it brings moisture in and holds it. And obviously that's important to the cornea. Hyaluronic acid can also promote healing of wound healing. So it promotes the migration of epithelial cells and it promotes the adhesion of epithelial cells. So in cases like corneal ulcers, if you're able to use a cross-linked hyaluronic acid molecule to help promote corneal healing, then the goal is to heal these ulcers up sooner than what would have been typical.
What about for dry eye? Do you recommend using it for this? Because, I mean, let's face it, I know that the medications can be so expensive for certain pet parents. And I don't know, you know, when we talk about spectrum of care, do you think this helps support the dry eye?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, in Centrix, they have a couple different products, but they also have an eye lubricant, which has cross-linked hyaluronic acid in it as well. You're right. Your point is correct about costs of care and things like that. But I will routinely tell the brachycephalic owners that I'm not just recommending a lubricant just for the sake of recommending it. I tell them if every single one of my brachycephalic owners used a cross-linked hyaluronic acid product on their dog routinely, I would not be in the OR at night fixing corneas and putting conj grafts on and doing different corneal techniques to heal them because they wouldn't see the OR. So in a long term, they can actually prevent spending a lot of money on emergency surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many cases that we want to do. Times the pet owners may not necessarily be able to get to the ophthalmologist or may not have the means to do it, but there is a point where we have to refer to you. So when should some of these cases ideally be referred?
As long as it doesn't have that, like that holy cow sort of thing, you know, you're a veterinarian and you're looking at a cornea and it's a really deep corneal ulcer, then obviously that's like, oh, holy cow, look at this. Then obviously that has to be referred very quickly. But I think that if you recheck these cases of ulcers in, say, a week and they're not getting healed, they should probably be referred at that point. Maybe 2 weeks. You could give them 2 weeks if it's not a dangerous deep ulcer. But it always confuses me why, you know, I'll see cases where an ulcer has been going on for 6 weeks and the veterinarian's been rechecking it, you know, every single week for 6 weeks. I know there's other factors there, of course. You know, there's thousands of cases where the vet says, I try to refer them, you know, every single week and the client just wouldn't go, you know, this isn't my fault. But if you were to say, what is an appropriate time for referral? I'd say 7 to 14 days.
Okay, 7 to 14 days. What are some of the medications that you're using to treat some of the corneal ulcers?
Primarily, if it's a deeper ulcer, we're using ofloxacin, which is a fluoroquinolone. I usually combine that with terramycin. Terramycin has been shown to reduce the melting activity. So hopefully, if you have an ulcer that is infected, by using terramycin, it reduces the risk of a melt from occurring. It's a pharmaceutical option instead of, say, using serum. A lot of people use serum. I think terramycin's a little bit easier. It doesn't gross the clients out. You know, if you're using serum, you gotta, you know, get blood from the dog, spin it down, put it in a vial, tell the client to put it in the refrigerator. Now they've got their dog's blood in the refrigerator. Not everybody's weird like us veterinarians, I guess, you know. So.
And how often are you recommending the ofloxacin?
4 times a day.
And any additional medications on top of it? I know you said terramycin, but any other lubricants that you're recommending or anything
else?
Yeah,
sure. So kind of a really good ulcer protocol is ofloxacin, terramycin 4 times a day. And then I usually also add on the hyaluronic acid drops from Centrix actually for about 3 times per day. And that helps to hopefully speed up healing and help with those epithelial cells.
Can't forget about the cone of shame too, right?
The cone of shame. Yeah. Yeah. If it's starting to get deep or the owner is noticing that the dog bothers it, then yeah, I think the cone of shame is a good recommendation. Although you never hear the end of it, you know, and then you never hear the end of it. So I tell clients almost all the time when they complain about it, if you can come up with a solution that's not as annoying and at the same price point as an e-collar, you don't have to tell anybody. You can just come to my office and we'll develop it together and we'll be driving Ferraris in no time.
Yeah, right. And what are your thoughts about oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatories?
Yeah, it's good. It's hard to say with eyes if anything really significantly touches pain because of how sensitive the eye is. So we want to help these animals, obviously, with pain medication, and clients expect that out of us. But realistically speaking, I don't know if oral NSAIDs are truly, you know, touching their level of pain that they have.
Got it. And how often do you recommend in rechecks?
So usually more than 15-20% through the cornea, I recommend a recheck in 1 week. If it's an indolent ulcer, and therefore it's not infected, I'm usually waiting 2 weeks on that one.
My question for you, and I'm curious, because some of the sessions I've sat in, it varies, but what are your thoughts on the grid keratotomy?
Yeah, so that's the funny thing about ophthalmologists is that if you sit in on talks, you're going to hear a million different ways to do things, and each one of us will fight to the death as if we have it all figured out. You know?
Seriously.
It's so true. We're all so opinionated, but either we all know what we're doing or none of us know what we're doing. It's one or the same. It's nothing in the middle. It's either we all know what we're doing or none of us do. Grid keratotomies are still very accepted. Diamond burr therapy is a newer treatment option I describe it to clients as kind of looking like a medical Dremel. When you get these to heal through the diamond burr, you don't see as much scarring to the cornea as you would with a grid keratotomy. I see a lot of grids that are done terribly, like they're dragging the needle way too deep, and it looks like somebody's lacerating the cornea over and over again. And so these are a little bit cleaner, if you will. The biggest problem that I see in practice from these is that they're getting used inappropriately a lot of times. So someone will take a diamond burr and put it right on a deep stromal ulcer, and then it's going to get worse and potentially lose the eye.
Which has happened, of course. We've seen that happen in practice. And what do you think the future holds for corneal disease treatments?
One of the things that's being worked on, and we did a study with Centrix. We used dogs and at the Animal Eye Institute, and we put these various levels, various drops in the eyes that had various concentrations of hyaluronic acid. And what we were able to show is that some of these dogs that had the higher concentrations of hyaluronic acid still had this bleb of material, of gel in their eye 2-3 hours later after administration. So I think the future really is, can we combine these medications that we use and then combine it with a gel so that we don't have to use medications as often? Because, you know, let's say we're looking at a cat with feline herpes virus and we're recommending an antiviral 4 times a day for this cat. Do we really think that these clients are dosing their cat at 4 times a day? Many of them are, but it's not easy to medicate a cat, especially if you're maybe an elderly person that can't get down onto the floor to get your cat in order to grab it, to medicate it. Cats get very smart and they're running around and evading, you know, the client. So if we could figure out a way to maybe utilize something where we're only dosing them twice a day instead of 4 times a day, the compliance is better and the satisfaction from clients is going to be better.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, I think it's one of the hardest things for you and us, the veterinarian, the general practitioners, is giving those recommendations, because they'll look at you and saying, you want me to do this how many times? You know, like, and some of them will, like, you're right, it's your point. But I would say a majority will think they can do it, but then they don't, because the dog comes running. When they see the bottle, they go running away. The cat goes flying. And it really tarnishes what I say, the human-animal bond. And it really, you know, your pet becomes more of your patient. And they call me up and they say, I'm so frustrated, I can't do this. And they get the rechecks and maybe they're not where they need to be. So that would be fantastic if there's a way that we can help minimize the frequency of administering these eye meds.
Yeah, I kind of view this as one of those holy grails. Yeah. If it can be solved, is figuring out how to medicate these animals less with the same efficacy. It's heartbreaking when you hear that, you know, a client comes in and maybe the only thing that they have is their cat, and they're like, my cat runs for me now. You know, you're making me medicate 3 times a day and now it hates me. It's, you know, that was my only joy coming home from work, was to hang out with my cat. Now my cat doesn't like me. That's heartbreaking to hear that.
Right. Absolutely. And as we're wrapping up, what's the best piece of advice you would give to those listening when they're having the corneal ulcer dog or cat come in? Sometimes you can feel a little overwhelmed or painful or whatnot. Like, what would be a best approach? Definitely do the staining of the eye, a good ophthalmic exam. What would be a good piece of advice you would give?
I think the best piece of advice that I can give, and I've been saying this for a long time, is to package your eye diagnostics into one package fee. When you a la carte it, you know, tear tests are $20 or a pressure is $40 and a stain is $30. The client's going to pick and choose like it's off of a buffet menu. And ultimately, you're going to pick the wrong one, or you pick them in the wrong order. So they say, well, I only want to do a pressure test. So, you know, you put proparacaine in the eye, you take the pressure, and then they go, oh, you know what? Now I want to do a tear test. You're like, well, we can't because we just put stuff in the eye and everything. So I think packaging it up for your practice and presenting that like you would an estimate, a surgical estimate to your client is the best way about it. You don't say to a client, I can do surgery, or we can maybe try it without anesthesia. You know, you package it, you know, you're like, this is the package fee for this procedure.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, clients don't want to be a la carte anymore. That's so 2000.
I agree. I totally agree with you. It is so old school.
It's so old school. The same goes for derm. We call it the dermatologic database, and it includes everything that's in there. And so, you know, you could zero those things out, but you put one price in for what is done, whether it be the ear cytology, skin scraping. And exactly to your point, you know, just getting a good full, because when, as pet owners, especially the Gen Zs, they're doing their homework and research, and they know that they're going to look this stuff up. And why wasn't an eye pressure evaluation done? Or why wasn't a Schirmer tear test? So now they're going to see it on their invoice. That's like, oh, this is good medicine. It's just elevating the standard of care.
Yeah, they are going to find it. You're right. I mean, they're finding on social media. I mean, you can get eye care tips off of TikTok for, you know, I mean, it's like, so they're going to find it. And so like, do what's best, you know, and give them your best advice.
Absolutely.
And it makes your job easier, right? Because like, you don't want to go in and make the wrong decision on a test and then be like, I don't know how to help this animal. I didn't recommend the right thing. So now I'm frustrated.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You want to open up the exam room door and be like, okay, I'm going to go in and do this versus I don't want to see this one. I don't want to see this one. So,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Excellent information. Dr. DJ Heusler, where can we learn more about you? You're on social media, I understand, right?
Yeah, I'm on social media. It's Animal Eye Institute, and it's on Facebook, Instagram. We also have some interesting podcasts ourselves. It's under veterinary ophthalmology. Those are the main channels, I think.
Excellent. Great. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, if you want to check out more, learn more about Centrix, you can visit them online at centrixanimalcare.com. That's centrixanimalcare.com. We want to thank them for supporting this great educational podcast. And of course, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.